All right. Very good morning to all the Eagle FM listeners. Thank you very much, Tate Mike, for introducing us there and bringing us back to the Vintage studio. I am now joined by Dr. Gerardo, a medical doctor, to talk about the link between HPV and cervical cancer. Doctor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you very much for making time for us this morning and to educate the nation on this very critical health topic.
It's my pleasure.
So let's get right into it. What is HPV and how is it commonly transmitted?
Okay. HPV stands for human papillomavirus.
Okay.
And it's actually predominantly sexually transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
There are a group of many types of human papillomavirus or HPV,
mm-hmm.
and about maybe more than even 200. But there are also some that we call oncogenic that can cause cervical cancer. So it's not only that it's caused sexually transmitted or through sexual practices.
Yeah.
That can be vaginal, anal, and even oral.
Mm-hmm.
But it's predominantly a sexually transmitted infection.
Okay. Mm. So how does it... Exactly what is cervical cancer and how does it typically develop in the body?
Okay, so... Cancer, generally, we probably all understand what cancer is.
Yes.
But if I'm to talk about what a cervix is,
mm-hmm.
a cervix is a portion of the womb. It's actually what, in lay term, I'll say it's the mouth of the womb. It's the portion that connects the womb and the vagina.
Okay.
So when we speak about cervical cancer, we're talking about cancer of the mouth of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And how it develops, like we're saying, HPV is sexually transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
So that means when you have unprotected sexual intercourse,
mm-hmm.
you can actually acquire HPV and it can stay in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And after some time, it actually, the DNA of that virus can integrate the whole cells, causing the disruption of the or the function of the
mm-hmm.
cells or the building blocks of that portion of the womb,
mm-hmm.
which is now the cervix. And once they have actually disrupted the function, the cells of the cervix, then they cause what you call pre or before the cancer type of conditions.
Okay.
And if that condition is not treated, then after some time, it can eventually develop into cervical cancer,
mm-hmm.
which is now cervix of the mouth of the womb.
So you can prevent getting cervical cancer, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
okay.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there specific strains of HPV that are considered high risk in terms of causing the cervical cancer?
Yes. There is the HPV.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Quite a number of types of HPV.
Mm-hmm.
And there are about 12 HPV that are considered to be very high risk.
12.
But the most common one is HPV 16 and 18.
Okay.
That's cause about actually 70% of all cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are studies that have been done, or I should say there's scientific evidence,
mm-hmm.
Which type of cervical of HPV are actually associated with cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm. What are the risk factors that increase a woman's chance of developing cervical cancer due to HPV?
Okay, because we have said that it's predominantly sexually transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman engage in sexual activities way too early,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the risk factors. If you are HIV positive, when you have multiple sexual partners,
mm-hmm.
or maybe your partner might be having multiple partners, you might be sticking to one partner, but your partner is having other partners,
mm-hmm.
might be picking up at HPV from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking, we know it's a risk for many cancers. So it's also a risk factor.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you are not doing the routine screening and also if you are not being vaccinated against HPV mm-hmm. infection, that puts you at risk. So,
so I'm curious, HPV only affects women or men as well?
That's a good question. So because it's a sexually transmitted infection, so mm-hmm. that means both men and women can actually acquire HPV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's very common for women to pick up HPV, and it's, I guess we are focusing on them because cervical cancer is quite very common,
yeah.
but it, men, it's not like they are exempted from HPV.
Mm-hmm.
HPV in men actually can cause anal cancer, can cause penile or cancer of the penis as well.
Ah.
So men can actually also have HPV infection.
Okay, yes, because as far as I understood it was, I thought it was only something that affects women, but it affects men as well.
It affects as you're men saying. As well, yes.
Okay. So how can HPV be prevented, and what role does the HPV vaccine play in reducing the risk of cervical cancer?
Okay. So obviously we all know that prevention is always better than cure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's way cheaper to prevent something than to go to treating it.
100%.
There are different types of preventions. We have primary prevention, we have secondary prevention, and what we call tertiary prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And when we speak about primary prevention, that's when we are actually focusing. The number one thing is on HPV vaccination.
Okay.
So there is actually robust studies out there that have shown the effectiveness of vaccinating young girls to
okay.
prevent them from having HPV-related cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But in an ideal world, it's not just vaccinating girls,
mm-hmm.
even young boys.
Okay.
And that's before they actually start engaging in sexual activities. And hence, we are targeting that age group
okay.
Between 9 and 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's now the Namibian program, how we set it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think the vaccine that we are looking at, it's going to be covering four types
okay.
of the high risk.
Four types. Out of the 12 that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Okay.
So actually, it's going to cover, there is the HPV can cause cervical cancer,
uh-huh.
but you also have some types that can cause things like genital warts.
Okay.
Right? So that vaccine that they are looking at is covering two types that could cause genital warts
mm-hmm.
commonly, and that's the 6 and 11,
mm-hmm.
and then the type 16 and 18, that's the common one that causes cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So being vaccinated before sexual exposure has been shown to be quite effective.
Mm-hmm.
But also things like practicing safe sex,
mm-hmm.
using condoms, because we know it's like HIV. We always advocate for, please use condoms if
yeah.
you want to protect yourself from HIV.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. We must try and use condoms. And delaying sexual debut or delaying, not engaging too early
mm-hmm.
in sexual activities. And also male circumcision, it's good for men to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is just to create awareness and obviously education. That's now the thing where we are looking at in terms of primary prevention. Now, secondary prevention,
mm-hmm.
obviously we need to be looking at regular screening and obviously treatment of invasive cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So the women who are now engaging in sexual activities, they
mm-hmm.
are advised that at least by the age of 30, they need to have some form of cervical cancer screening.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then the tertiary prevention is when we have now secondary prevention, I had said that it's actually to treat the precancerous lesion.
Yeah.
And then the tertiary prevention is when now we screen. And if we pick up early invasive cancer, then we need to treat that as soon as possible. And there are different treatments that we can consider.
Okay. So let's say the HPV does end up developing into cervical cancer. The cervical cancer is still treatable if caught early enough?
Yes, it is. It's very much preventable, mm-hmm. but if you detect it very early, it's also very much curable,
okay.
right? But it doesn't mean if we pick it up early and then we treat you, then that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to continue with routine screening,
yeah.
especially if you still have the cervix and especially if you're still engaging in sexual activities.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have said, that infection can stay in the body
mm-hmm.
either if you are, your immune system is competent enough, you can eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
But if your system is actually like compromised, things like HIV, or maybe you are on some treatment like chemotherapy that have compromised your immune system to eliminate that infection,
mm-hmm.
as time goes, that infection can eventually lead to cervical cancer.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, following up on the... on your answer, when you're talking about the primary treatments, you said that they would be targeting people in the 9 to 14 age group. Does that mean that the younger you are, the more, how do I say, susceptible you are to getting HPV, or is it just to catch them while it's early?
No. So if you're looking at the age 9 and 14,
mm-hmm.
those are still kids.
And yeah.
they shouldn't really be engaging in sexual
activities.
Yes,
of course, yes.
So we would want to vaccinate them
mm-hmm.
before they get exposed to the virus.
Okay, I see.
So we want them to sort of have, develop a system
mm-hmm.
that will prevent them from acquiring that HPV. So it's not to say that the young ones are the ones that are susceptible to getting the HPV,
mm-hmm.
but we want to vaccinate them while they are young
yeah.
before exposure to the virus, so they already have that defensive mechanism
yeah.
in case if they acquire HPV in the future.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are some... screening methods that are available for early detection of cervical cancer, and how do they work?
So we have different type of screening,
mm-hmm.
Things like HPV testing, and that's actually the gold standard. That's the highest type of testing because it to look at, do you actually have this virus? And if yes, you do you have the high risk, the low risk, what type?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll know now, okay, are you at higher risk of developing cervical cancer?
Mm-hmm.
And hence you need either maybe to be treated or you need to, your surveillance of screening need to be more frequent, can be individually based.
Yeah.
And then you have cytology,
where
okay. either it's a liquid-based cytology or a pap smear that will also just look at the cells and see if you have now these precancerous cervical lesions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is probably the cheap one is the screen and treat,
mm-hmm.
and we call that visual inspection with acetic acid.
Okay.
So we apply something like vinegar on the mouth of the womb, and we are now looking to see if there's abnormal cells on that mouth of the womb.
Okay.
They will actually be stained by that
vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the acetic acid. And then we can actually now offer you treatment. But those are the different screening modalities that we have available.
Okay. And does testing positive for HPV automatically mean that a woman will develop cervical cancer?
No.
No?
It doesn't mean. So, because we did say that, yes, you can acquire the infection,
uh-huh.
and if your immune system is competent enough,
yeah.
it can actually eliminate that. But the thing is that sometimes you might not even know you have it. You might be walking around and not knowing that.
So you can have HPV without having particular symptoms.
Yeah. You can.
Yeah. So it's important to always get tested.
It's important to continue with routine screening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are some of the early symptoms of cervical cancer that women should be on the lookout for?
So like we have said, that mm-hmm. it's not common that you always have symptoms, especially mm-hmm. if you do not have cancer as yet.
Yeah.
Right? The only symptom that I can think of, and that is not necessarily associated with cervical cancer, mm-hmm. but it might be a symptom to tell you that you might be having HPV infection, is genital warts.
Okay.
But remember, the common types of the HPV that causes genital warts, it's not the same as the one that causes the cervical cancer. But the reason I'm pointing it out is because nowadays people can go to Dis-Chem or Clicks and buy some cream that can eliminate these genital warts,
mm-hmm.
and that's just okay. But we must not forget that genital warts are also caused by HPV.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a sign that perhaps if you really know that you have never had a pap smear and you have genital warts, don't just buy some solution, podophylline, whatever,
mm-hmm.
over the counter to just treat it. It might be a sign that you actually need to be screened. Perhaps you didn't just pick up the HPV 6 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you also picked up 16 and 18 that could eventually lead to cancer.
Yeah.
And the sooner you screen to pick it up and get treated, the better mm-hmm. it is for you. So by the time a woman now, when it comes to cervical cancer itself,
mm-hmm.
by the time you start having abnormal vaginal bleeding
mm-hmm.
and maybe having an abnormal vaginal discharge,
mm-hmm.
that might mean that maybe you already have either an advanced precancerous lesion
mm-hmm.
or you might be already sitting with cervical cancer.
Yeah.
And this is very common, especially the abnormal bleeding, abnormal discharge
mm-hmm.
in people who were, let's say, you are in menopause.
Yeah.
They are not getting their menstruation and all of a sudden, out of the blue, now they start having this funny bleeding,
mm-hmm.
offensive discharge. You really need to go to the hospital to have that checked as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So other symptoms that people might also watch out for that might point towards having cervical cancer is things like pelvic pain,
mm-hmm.
maybe having pain while having intercourse,
mm-hmm.
and maybe having some bleeding as well after intercourse or during intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But the take-home message is that we shouldn't be waiting for us to have symptoms.
Yeah.
Because that might mean that we are already sitting with cancer and we would really want to pick up the precancerous lesions so
mm-hmm.
that you get treated and it's actually better than sitting with cancer.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm. So now, speaking of sitting with cancer, if it does get to that stage, how treatable is cervical cancer when it is detected early and what treatment options are currently available for this?
Okay, so I'm going to simplify it
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to get too much into
the technical terms.
Mm-hmm. But the pre-malignant lesions,
okay.
And those are the ones that we want to pick up. Cancer, it's treatable, but it also depends on the stage.
Okay.
Right? So if we're looking at the pre-malignant lesions, we are talking things like cryotherapy,
mm-hmm.
that's some things like maybe you are having freezing of treatment, or you have thermal ablation, or you can even have surgery to remove the abnormal area. And we are hoping to remove the abnormal cells
mm-hmm.
that, if not treated, could develop into cancer. as time goes.
Yeah.
And this, we call something like a cone biopsy. We just cut around the area
okay.
that is susceptible, where the cancer actually develops, starts developing.
Yeah.
And we call that a transformation zone. So we try to cut out that area
mm-hmm.
or the other surgery. We call it a LETS. Right? So that's for pre-malignant,
mm-hmm.
right? But now when it comes to cervical cancer, it all depends on the stage where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If we pick it early while it's still just confined to the mouth of the womb or just confined to the cervix, and that's what we usually call a stage one,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to get again into stage one, A, 1B, whatever, and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes even a cone biopsy can still be a surgical treatment that one can get. And especially for people who are still young and they still want to bear children,
mm-hmm.
that is something that can be considered. So you can have surgery to remove the whole uterus. If
okay.
perhaps you have completed family, you
yeah.
don't wish to have children anymore,
mm-hmm.
and that's still if it is operable.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you move to things like stage 2B, stage 3, stage 4 is even more advanced,
mm-hmm.
then surgery might not be an option anymore. We won't be able to operate on someone who's a stage 4, who's
yeah.
a stage 3, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so then you can have things like radiotherapy, chemotherapy.
Okay.
Those are the things that you'll be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you were having a pre-malignant lesion, and you got, let's say you got thermal ablation or cryotherapy.
Yeah.
It's not the end of it.
You have to continue
with routine screening.
Because yeah.
you can still get another premalignant lesion.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't think, okay, I've been treated and that's the end of it. And then only wait for the symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, doctor, what message would you like to give to parents, especially mothers and guardians, about the importance of vaccinating their children against HPV?
So, like I said, there is scientific evidence out there.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccination have been proven to be quite effective.
Mm-hmm.
And the earlier we vaccinate the kids, if we could, we would do it for both boys and girls.
Yeah.
But it's actually just because of, I believe it's just because we are not able to afford to do it for both of them. So
okay.
we are focusing at the girl child. So for the parents, for the caregivers, really prevention is better than cure. I'll just give an example. If I'm 30 years old now and I have a 10-year-old child,
mm-hmm.
by the time she gets to, let's say, 40 years old,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably be around 70,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And if that child picks up cervical cancer, I will not even be able to be looking after that child.
Exactly.
If you'll never know.
Yeah.
So these are children, if we are looking at the target age group that we want to vaccinate, they are kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kid's mind is like a sponge.
Yeah.
Né?
Yeah.
They absorb whatever, whoever they are closest to, the information that we give them is what they are going to absorb.
Yeah.
And I believe that the vaccination in Namibia, we want to be looking, we are going to do it like a school-based type of program.
Okay.
So, and it's not something that we want to coerce children to be vaccinated. No, we really want the parents to come on board.
Yeah.
We want the guardians to come on board, the caregivers to come on board
mm-hmm.
and have their children vaccinated. The effectiveness of the vaccine is better when it's actually done or when the young girl is vaccinated earlier enough. So the vaccine is safe, it's effective,
mm-hmm.
and it's free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, prevention is always better than cure. So let's try and motivate and advocate for vaccinations of the young ones.
Yeah. Is the vaccination, is it going to be like, I remember when I was younger, you used to, I don't know if it was a law, it felt like it's something you had to do, like to get vaccinated for like polio and those kind of things, like it was... it didn't really seem like it was a choice. It was something you had to do. Is that the message also we're giving here about this vaccine?
I'm glad you actually brought that up, like things like vaccinating for polio and mm-hmm. such. So I think it's a little bit different
okay.
in a sense that a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old, 14-year-old, these are kids in school.
Yeah.
All right. And already they kind of, although they might not really understand what cervical cancer is,
mm-hmm.
I guess when the parents tell them, if they tell them this is bad,
yeah,
they'll follow that. Mommy said this is bad, or my parents said this is bad and I shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't do it. But it's different when a mother takes a 6-month-old baby to the hospital to get their polio, or to get there, or when a new baby is born
mm-hmm.
and then they get vaccinated. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So we are not saying that whether you like it or not, because unfortunately a 6-month-old or a newly born baby,
mm-hmm.
they don't have any say
yeah.
in that, yeah. right? But a 9 and 14-year-old might actually ask even questions to say, what is this that I'm getting?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we would love it to be part of the routine vaccination of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're saying, they are still kids. But I think questions will come in because they are
a bit older.
Young kids. They're a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
They might be questioning. They might have heard about it. And nowadays, our kids are exposed to a lot of social media.
Yeah.
So when they hear something on social media, they will come and ask their parents and say, no, but I heard the vaccine does this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I also get that? So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
But that's when the parent really need to come in and play a big role in this to try and give the correct information to mm-hmm. the kids, the schools, everyone.
Yeah.
We need to play part in making sure that we have given the right information to our kids.
Okay, makes sense. Lastly, Doctor, how can communities and health professionals work together to improve awareness, screening uptake, and HPV vaccine coverage in Namibia?
Well, you know, recently I learned that social media is actually used for even making money.
Yeah.
I was like, this, you know, it's a good platform
mm-hmm.
for education, but it can also be a very bad platform, because it all depends what information are you disseminating through
exactly.
this platform.
Yes.
So, yes, we are saying we want to educate the people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create awareness, and we want really to advocate for the right thing, which is the primary prevention, which is mostly the vaccination. This is what the Ministry of Health is trying to do, but we need to understand that the Ministry of Health will not achieve this goal on
mm-hmm.
its own.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to come and play their part.
Yeah.
Right? So now we need to engage our leaders, whether that is traditional leaders, the religious leaders, and even youth leaders,
mm-hmm.
actually. And we need to empower them, right? We need to empower the young people that this is for their safety. This is something that they will do now,
mm-hmm.
but in the long run, then they will understand actually what the benefit of that was. Sometimes I hear people saying, but yeah, where is the evidence? How come we don't have our local data
mm-hmm.
and stuff? Yes, unfortunately, we do not have the data
mm-hmm.
that the vaccine or our own. Because the data is out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's not Namibian.
Yeah.
We have a lot of African countries that are doing the same thing, what we are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have, it's national. We have robust research out there that have proven the effectiveness, the safetiness of the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So why not start also writing our own story.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we are going to start also collecting our data.
Yeah.
We vaccinate, and after some 5-10 years, we want to screen these kids eventually, or when they get to 30-year-old, 25-year-old, wherever,
mm-hmm.
and then see who are those ones that have been vaccinated that are actually picking up cervical cancer, or
mm-hmm.
maybe not actually having cervical cancer.
Yeah.
And we can only do that if we all play a role. Also, we need to integrate HPV education into our school curriculum,
mm-hmm.
and train the health workers. And we need to go out there, strengthen our outreach services.
Mm-hmm.
Sex education is something that we don't really like talking about, but we need to start having that uncomfortable conversation.
Yes, definitely.
Be it in the community, be it in our homes, we need to start having those conversations mm-hmm. eventually, because it's the only way.
Yeah. And now, just to follow up on what you said about the lack of data, in specifically in regards to the vaccine. So on Wednesday, we had Mr. Nicholas Shapumba, Senior Health Program Officer at the Ministry of Health. He gave us some figures on Namibia's sort of standing when it comes to cases per 100,000 when it comes to cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He said that per 100,000, we are at 33 cases per 100,000. The continental average is 17.9,
mm-hmm.
and internationally the figure is at 14 cases per 100,000. So, continentally and internationally, we're basically more than double. So for anyone who says, you know, how do you know the vaccine works and so on, we clearly have a problem in terms of this cervical cancer, and this is one of the solutions to the said problem.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just people want, there's so many things that people are saying out there.
Yeah.
No, how come we don't have the data? Well, we don't have the data with regards to vaccination,
mm-hmm.
local data,
mm-hmm.
but like you rightfully say, we do have the data that shows that we are in the danger zone
exactly.
of how many people are dying from cervical cancer, something that can be prevented.
Mm-hmm.
But why not use the data that other countries are sharing with us? That
exactly.
The vaccine does work. So why do we? And I mean, we are only starting something, so we have to start somewhere,
yeah.
and we have to advocate for something and eventually have our local data. And if we don't start, then we'll keep on saying that, where is the data, where is the data?
Exactly.
But we are in the danger zone, like you're saying,
100%.
Of how many people dying from cervical cancer, which is preventable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doctor, thank you very much for your time this morning. Is there any last message you'd like to give the listeners before I let you go this morning?
I probably have said it
yeah.
almost all, but I just want to say that they say it takes a village
yeah.
to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Our target group is really children,
mm-hmm.
and I really just want to say that let's go out there and disseminate the correct information, educate our children. These are our future doctors. These are our future
leaders.
Ministers, the future leaders, mm-hmm. who eventually are going to write the story and say, you know what, I was vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
and I did not pick that. I practice safe sex practices,
mm-hmm.
and that probably what prevented me from having cervical cancer.
Yeah.
We hope that someday we'll be able to afford and vaccinate even the boy child,
mm-hmm.
but for now it's just the boy girl, but it doesn't mean it's because we want to do something or it's because the ministry is trying to do something.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of videos out there that's disseminating wrong information,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of studies, a lot of research out there that have actually showed that the vaccine is safe,
mm-hmm.
it's effective, and so we need to really advocate for it.
100%. Doctor, thank you very much for your time this morning. And we appreciate the insight that you gave us on this critical topic.
You're welcome. Thank you
for
having me.
We will be right back with Mind the Gap with Helmut, and thank you very much for tuning in.